It's time for the CEO Show on 1590 KLIV, your chance to hear from Silicon Valley's top executives and elected leaders. Now here's your host, Carl Guardino, President and CEO of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group.
You're listening to a live presentation of the CEO Show on 1590 KLIV radio that was recorded at El Camino Hospital in Mountain View with about 50 legislative staff members, member company representatives of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, and other key community partners as we have a dialogue with six CEOs and founders of startup companies throughout Silicon Valley and the Bay Area's innovation economy. We have Durrell Coleman, the founder of DC Revolutions, Ushma Garg, the founder and CEO of Gobble, Young Han, CEO of GoVolunteer.com, Bilal Humadi, the founder of Snoozy, Virginia Klausmeier, the CEO of Silva Tax, and Nathan Pham, the CEO of Good Joe. We're going to jump right into questions with each of our six CEOs and founders and then open it up for others to ask them questions as well. Ushma Garg, you get to be picked on first because you sat at the end of the table. But right. For all six of our founders, the first question is this. You are so used to making 30-second elevator pitches to potential funders, to angel investors, to VCs. That's what we'd like to start our CEO Show first. I've got my stopwatch going. Ushma Garg, 30 seconds, the elevator pitch on Gobble.
I'm Ushma. I'm the founder and CEO of Gobble. We're a marketplace for home-cooked food. I like to call it peer-to-peer lasagna. Basically, more and more people are eating out multiple times a week, and nowadays, eating out multiple times a day. And with double working parents and families and a lack of authenticity in health and food, now you can come to Gobble and order home-cooked meals from local chefs that are then delivered to your door within half an hour.
Ushma, great. And clocked, you can tell she's been on a few elevators. That was right at 30 seconds. Young Han, go volunteer.
Hi, I'm Young with Go Volunteer. We're an online platform that brings volunteers, nonprofits, and businesses together. For volunteers, they can find volunteer opportunities and get rewarded for their good deeds. Nonprofits can source volunteers, track hours, and reward their volunteers at no cost. And we give this ecosystem a marketplace by businesses coming in and being able to market their CSR efforts through employee engagement like volunteer programs and cause-related marketing. So we're really looking to change the way businesses boost their bottom line through community involvement.
Young Han, thank you. Bilal Humadi, Snoozy.
Hi, I'm the co-founder of Snoozy.com and the CEO. Snoozy is a real-time polling platform that specializes in engaging audience of a large scale. We specialize in TV and radio engagement, similar to X Factor and American Idol. We've been live on NBC Bay Area for the last 2 months. They're using us every Tuesday at 6 o'clock. We're also focusing on conference engagement for large conferences. We sponsored the Silicon Valley Leadership Group on last Friday with the Marvell and the Silicon Valley Leadership Group. And we're also working toward adding Twitter and Facebook integration so that you can broadcast your message and get real-time integration all into one place.
Bilal Humadi, thank you. Virginia Klausmeier, SilvaTex.
Hi, Virginia Klausmeier. I'm the co-founder and CEO of SilvaTex. We have developed a fuel technology that is going to dramatically reduce the costs while creating a cleaner, greener diesel fuel. So our objective and mission is to incorporate renewable components into the petroleum stream using the current infrastructure. So pretty much we're using the same type of ideas when we integrate ethanol into gasoline right now. In the current infrastructure, we're going to be incorporating renewable components, including ethanol, into diesel fuel to make a big impact.
Thank you, Virginia. Nathan Pham, Good Joe.
Hi, my name is Nathan. I'm the founder of Good Joe. We're an online marketplace and a platform for nonprofits to do branding and fundraising through crowdsourced consumable goods. So what we do is we partner with nonprofits. We host T-shirt design contests for them using the mission statement as a design theme. We have designers from around the world submit their designs to the contest for cash prizes. At the end of the contest, we actually take all the submissions, convert them into consumable goods, create a whole online store for every nonprofit that we work with, and they can actually promote those products to their network of supporters for the purpose of branding and fundraising. We find there's a huge need for the nonprofits due to budget cuts, and also at the same time, nonprofits, their number one assets is actually their brand, their name, but there's no way to monetize on that. So we want to take on that challenge and make it happen for them.
Nathan Pham, thank you. Darrell Coleman, DC Revolutions.
I'm Darrell Coleman, founder of DC Revolutions. Every street light, highway light, and parking lot light in the world burns late at night. Each and every one of those lights costs money. Wouldn't it be great if each of those lights could generate its own power and take the cost of operation down at the same time? DC Revolutions designs and manufactures elegant vertical axis wind turbines that attach to existing parking lot lights, offsetting the power that they use at point of use. At the same time, we're able to send a beacon to anyone watching of the sustainable nature of the company or city that's actually implementing our product.
Outstanding. Will you join me in just applauding these wonderful founders and CEOs? We're going to rotate who responds first. We've heard 30 seconds about your company. Thank you for the elevator pitches. How about 30 seconds about you? For each of our six founders, CEOs, where were you born and raised, and where did you go to college? We're going to start with Young Han this time and end with Ushma so that we don't pick on Ushma first the whole time. Young Han, go volunteer.
What was the questions again? I'm so sorry.
Where were you born and raised, and where'd you go to college?
Born in Oakland, raised all over the Bay Area. I lived in the East Bay, San Jose, Mountain View, Sunnyvale, Fremont, Union City, pretty much all over the Bay Area, minus San Francisco.
I kept getting kicked out of cities, too. Where'd you go to college at?
I went to college in San Jose State, right over here in San Jose. So
we just heard a Go Spartans from Randy Okamura at AT&T. Good man. Bilal.
I was actually born in Dallas, Texas. I was raised in Iraq for 8 years, and then 8 years in Libya. And then I came to the U.S. when I was 16, went to Tennyson High School, and then to San Jose State.
Excellent. Excellent. Bilal, thank you.
And I actually worked at El Camino Hospital assembling their CyberKnife system next door.
Wow. Okay, Virginia, top that. What did you do at El Camino Hospital?
Yeah. So I was born in Elmhurst, Illinois, and I grew up in my younger years in Bangkok, Thailand, and then moved from there to Eugene, Oregon, where I stayed all the way through college and graduate school until I came down to amazing California.
Excellent. Great. You were in Eugene for the weather, of course, and you can remove that mic from the stand if you'd like. Nathan Pham, good job.
I actually was born in Vietnam, came here to the States when I was 12 with my parents and my little sister. Have lived in the Bay Area all the last 20 years or so. I actually went to UC Davis. That's where I met my two co-founders, which is the engineers behind the website, Good Show.
Darrell Coleman.
I was born in Bellevue, Nebraska, and raised in Dallas, Texas. I went to Stanford University for my undergrad and master's, and it's been a fantastic 6 years out here in the Valley.
Great. Thank you. And we're back to Ushma Garg.
So I was also born in Dallas, Texas. So that's quite a coincidence. And I knew Darrell in college as well, so I went to Stanford and never left.
Terrific, terrific. Now, we're going to start with Bilal Hamadi on our next question. What made you decide to found a company and or serve as CEO of a startup rather than to go to work for an established, more stable company?
I love the intersection of business and technology. That really fascinates me. And when I was in college, I worked for a company that specializes in testing equipment for motherboards. And then overnight, they decided to ship that business to China. And people who were working there for 20, 30 years, they all were laid off. So it made me realize that in order to pretty much have secure of my future is to have things that I can build myself. And I'm not a big fan of outsourcing. So pretty much I believe in efficiency, but not outsourcing. So that's why I wanted to open my own.
Bilal, thank you. Virginia Klausmeier?
Well, I was very inspired by my late father, my mentor, and co-founder, Dr. William Klausmeier. He inspired me to really do a background in chemistry and engineering, and then I continued a career in a more formal environment where I came to realize that my true passion lies in making a big impact. So I was fortunate enough to have an experience and a company and a technology that could do that. And now I'm leading that force to make an impact on the world.
Nathan Pham, good job.
I blame it on TechCrunch. When it first started out, I actually I was really bored at the current job that I had, or there was reading every single startup that was posting on there, so I got really inspired. But the tipping point was when I was indirectly involved with the project One Laptop Per Child. So I got obsessed with this idea how technology can actually benefit in social welfare. So that was the starting point.
Darrell Coleman, DC Revolutions.
I think for me, my goal is really to be what I call the catalyst for the realization of ambition. And so I think that means removing barriers for other people so that they can realize their dreams. Energy is something that affects everyone in the world, and it's something that kind of caught me whenever I went to college as well. And so I thought, you know, can I do something that can actually make an impact on the world, remove barriers for other people, you know, by reducing emissions, et cetera, around the world.
Ushma Garg, Gobble.
So why work at a startup? My personality is such that I like to have a different job every day. And I don't know if that's for everyone, but every morning when I wake up, I'm not exactly sure what I'll be doing, whether it's if I have to jump in and be a delivery driver, whether I have to present to investors, you know, whether I have to go to a speaking event. So I like the aspect of startups where they're always changing, and thus everyone in the company also has to change with it and enjoy that very deeply.
And Young Han. Young Han, go volunteer.
I got the need to start Go Volunteer from my corporate experience, actually. So working at Starbucks and Apple previous to this, I felt and learned so much about CSR and the impact businesses can have on the community, and really felt that there was a need for a product like Go Volunteer to really productize volunteerism and community service and getting businesses involved. There's so many businesses out there in Silicon Valley that use volunteerism as a branding mechanism. And not only do they benefit from employee engagement and productivity, they also benefit from customer loyalty, higher customer traffic, and branding. And what we really wanted to do is productize this and make it accessible to everyone. So really, it came from a need to take what I've learned from these big and great corporations and make it accessible to everyone else.
Virginia Klausmeier, we're going to come to you next for our next question. Silicon Valley is still considered the most innovative region for technology on the planet. What do you view as the strengths of starting your business here in Silicon Valley in the Bay Area?
I would say it's the people. So having a community that supports innovation, this is a great example. You're surrounded by a lot of people that believe in you, are excited by what you're doing, and want to support you. And also, California is an amazingly huge market as well as diverse market. So you put those two together, and it's pretty much a perfect place.
We're going to go to Nathan Pham. Same question. What are the strengths of starting your business here in Silicon Valley in the Bay Area?
I think it has to do with the energy level that we have here and this borderline insane belief that anything is possible. And I think I thrive on that. And, of course, the supportive ecosystem like this event here that I don't think anywhere else have what we have here.
Darrell Coleman, DC Revolutions.
I would have to say the same thing. I mean, I think it's the people. Again, it's the network. It's the support that you can get and the environment. I live in a house, for example, which has anywhere between 4 and 7 people living in it, everyone starting their own company. And it's just amazing to have that energy, you know, from other people around you that are doing the same thing, that are pushing you, that believe in your insane idea, as Nathan just said, at the same time.
So they don't have that in Nebraska, Terrell?
Not in Nebraska. I haven't seen it.
Great. Ushma Garg?
I will build on Virginia and Darrell's answer and say that when you want to do something, it's really valuable to learn from those who've traveled the road before you. And as much as we can read about it, being here and listening to those people in person actually provides you with you know, very unique insights and the stories or lessons that you might not have been able to read about. So I think actually being in Silicon Valley is you know, much better than just reading about everything from another place.
Young Han, Go Volunteer.
I'll have to say the amount of coffee shops here in Silicon Valley definitely help out a lot. But I do want to second what everyone else is saying. Just the infusion of culture in Silicon Valley of just innovation and entrepreneurial spirit. the network of people and the proximity of access to them is tremendous. Other founders, other entrepreneurs, accelerator groups. We just graduated from the 500 Startups program. And all these things are around here, and they're just so bountiful. And it's amazing to meet these investors and all these different people that are doing the same thing all around you in such close proximity. But I'd also have to say local municipalities. A lot of the local cities are amazingly receptive to startups. The economic development team in almost all the major cities here have approached us in trying to court us, to be honest with you, and giving us resources and the ability to learn more about the city and what it can offer for startup communities. So, fantastic.
Bilal Humadi, Snoozy.
I agree with everything they said. I think one of the main things here is the can-do attitude, and a lot of people before us have done it before, or they made it big. I have a lot of examples, and they're willing to coach you and show you what needs to be done. So having organizations like the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, I think that's something amazing as well.
Bilal, thank you. You get a second muffin today. We're going to ask one more question from me, then we're going to open it up to our legislative aides, city representatives, and member company representatives here at El Camino Hospital for this Breakfast Club meeting that we are having this morning. So if you are going to ask a question, again, just put your tent card in a vertical way so that our people with mics can come to you. Let's start with Nathan Pham of Good Show. Silicon Valley is certainly known for its innovation. California government is not always viewed as a place for companies to start, grow, and stay. If you could recommend one policy change to the governor and to the legislature that you believe would strengthen California's business climate for startup companies like yours, what would that policy change be? Nathan Pham?
It's kind of funny because Tommy or Asher was talking about it earlier at her opening remarks. We were thinking about healthcare the other day, and I think it's actually very expensive for us to get healthcare for us and the two founders. So I think if there's some sort of programs that supports people who are starting companies to provide them healthcare, because the first year and a half we did not have healthcare because every dollar that we have was going on to bootstrapping the startup and to help grow the company to the next level. And then we're like, okay, you know, if it happens, it happens. If we get a car accident, if it happens, we're gonna take on that risk. So I think that's very important to have.
Darrell Coleman, DC Revolutions.
And I think for us, it deals with, you know, we design wind turbines, and there are a lot of regulatory barriers around putting up something in a city setting that spins, that generates power. And it's something that you can definitely work through with each city, but what would be extremely useful for us would be if cities could band together to kind of collaborate and come up with rules, regulations around these products at the same time, so that you're not going through the same process with each city every single time you want to talk with a new customer. So I think that's something that California could definitely lead the rest of the nation on, is just kind of setting these standards as a whole and making sure that they're consistent across the board.
Darrell, thank you. We're going to go to Ushma Garg of Gobble.
I'll choose something that starts at the very beginning. And so I think that at times when you're filing just to get your business to become official in California, it can take anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 months. As a priority, you can pay more and have it filed in a month. But when startups are coming out and they're raising money, waiting for that proof of filing can really drastically affect a fundraising. So I think optimizing the speed and process of just getting your business filed could be very meaningful to a startup.
So Ushma Garg, it can take as long as 3 to 4 months?
Yes.
Wow. That's good information for us to have. Thank you. Young Han, go volunteer. One thing that you'd like to see the governor and legislature do that would help the climate for startups in California?
Sure. Mine has a little more to do with filing for taxes like we just did previously for our corporation. Would love to implore the state to look at the net operating loss deduction and not renew the suspension that it's currently in place. I understand that the state has a deficit of something like $9+ billion right now, and that NOL clause basically, it costs us around $900 million, but it's basically penalizing startups. We can't actually deduct our losses over the course of the next 10 or 15 years because of the fact that we're trying to be profitable. So by continuing that suspension, you're actually penalizing us for being profitable. And I can almost speak on behalf of everyone here. We're all looking to be profitable. So we're looking to make money, but if we make money, we can't get our deductions that we've carried for the last few years and losses. So how does that make sense? We definitely need to look into that a little bit more and stimulate startup growth and promote startups to spend the money in the first few years. Obviously, we're going to have losses, and we should be able to carry those deductions over.
Young Han, thank you. Bilal Humadi.
I agree with Nathan. I think healthcare is an issue here, especially for me. I have a daughter and myself. It costs a lot of money to maintain a health insurance. And at a startup situation in which we had, I had to make sure that I have enough fund to go forward before taking this risk. So having something like that would be a huge plus in making more people opt in and taking that risk.
We're going to go to our live room of guests here at El Camino Hospital. I'm going to go in the order of where I saw people raise their placards. So we're going to start with Jeff Rangel of Brocade and then Kevin Riley with the City of Santa Clara. Jeff Rangel?
Hello. Thanks, everyone. And I appreciate your comments. Very inspiring. I am curious, though, early stage companies often delay involvement in public policy and community involvement work, generally to focus on getting their product out to market. Yet you all are here and you're talking and you're actively engaged. What advice do you have for the entrepreneur not yet involved in these activities?
Community engagement, policy engagement as part of your DNA early on. We're not going to ask everyone to comment, but anyone who would like to comment. Would anyone like to grab that mic?
Well, I'll start off. Virginia Klausmar with Silvatex. We're a clean tech company, and we are we're innovating new technologies and that impact the energy sector. So policy is incredibly important. I don't know how anyone involved in energy sector in general can't be involved in policy hand in hand, because there's a lot of new development that's necessary at multiple levels and layers.
Nathan Pham and Darrell Coleman wanted to comment on that question about early engagement in policy and community.
I think when you start out, you have this idea of how your product is supposed to work, but then when you actually finish it and push it out, it's always the first thing. It's always failed the first thing you do it. So I think in order for startups to get a really wide perspective, they need to kind of go out there and network and really just talk about what you do. Because everybody has a feedback on what it could be, and you gather that feedback, it would be very helpful for you to actually build your product, in my opinion, rather than waiting until the end of the final stage of the product before you talk to people.
Darrell Coleman.
There's a quote that I enjoy, which is that your success in life is defined by the number of uncomfortable conversations that you're willing to have. And I think that early involvement in things like, you know, politics, political engagement, just community engagement in general, those all kind of engender that same idea that you can get out of the room, you can get out of your kind of safe haven, go out there and start to change the environment that you're actually playing in. So to early startups, I would say do the same thing. Get out of the room. You know, don't sit in your bedroom the whole time and expect the infrastructure around you to kind of cater to your needs. If you need more small changes or even big changes, you know, you have to start pushing for them to actually happen.
And Darrell Coleman, I'm going to repeat back that quote that I think I heard. Your success in life is measured by the number of uncomfortable conversations you are willing to have. Excellent. I learned something. I learned a lot already today, and that was something new. Bilal Hamadi, you grabbed the mic.
I think since we started involving, since we got involved with finances, and working with different startups from across the globe, we noticed a lot of encouragement from different countries, like, for instance, Canada, Singapore, China. They provide a lot of incentives to startups to start their companies in their headquarters, and that kind of reflects some sort of policy impact in California. I mean, we would love to see California and Silicon Valley be the Silicon Valley for the next 100 years, and that's why we hope to change, to make it better.
Young, please.
I have to say we're intrinsically inclined to be engaged in our community because our whole platform is about civic engagement. So it's about getting people out into the community, whether they're for an employee or they're an employer. And even if they're not employed, I would love for people to get out and volunteer and start solving some of these social issues that we have. It's tremendous, and that's why I feel that it's important for us to be actively engaged in what's going on and know what's going on locally as well as globally. How are we going to solve the problem if we don't start learning? So.
Young, thank you. Ushma Garg.
And as just more of a consumer technology company, I think in general startups operate at the edge of the status quo and at the edge of what's possible right now. But in order to build a very big company, I think it's important to have the mindset that pushing that edge and making change will take business, community, and government cooperation. And so, starting now, I can have a better sense of what's possible by being involved and push it all forward together.
Yes, Young, please jump in.
I just wanted to congratulate Jeff on launching Brocade CR Twitter handle. I think that's awesome. If everyone's on Twitter, please follow it. They just launched yesterday, and it's fantastic. It's just all about corporate social responsibility.
Excellent. Good. I wondered earlier why Jeff had slipped you an envelope before we started, and now I know why. Kevin Riley, City of Santa Clara.
Good morning. These sound like great ideas and great companies, and I know over time you're going to grow. And so from a city perspective, what is it that any of you would like a city to be thinking about as you need to expand in the space? How can we help you do that?
And again, not all six of our founders and CEOs need to respond, but all of you are welcome to respond. Who would like to respond to that question about what cities here in Silicon Valley and the Bay Area can do to help startups? Darrell Coleman, DC Revolutions.
I mean, I would come back to our same point, and this kind of refers to us specifically, but we're interested in working with cities, with our product in particular, and we're interested in also working with the companies within those cities. One of the big things for us is kind of getting all the stakeholders involved in the process on board, because as members of the city, you understand your city better than we do, coming in from the outside. So I think having some sort of open channel such that we can communicate with you and kind of relay what our requests are early would be fantastic as well.
Good. Well said, Darrell Coleman. Ushma Garg, Gobble.
So this is also specific to Gobble, but on the other side of the marketplace, there are a number of moms and dads and just individuals who are now earning a living by cooking food for the community. And I would like more people who have a tradition of cooking or who want to share that with their community to understand the opportunity to have access. And I know that in some other cities in the country, the city supports commercial kitchen facilities and different facilities that could be great catalysts to a lot of people having jobs. And I haven't explored too much of how that can happen in the Bay Area, but if this is a great way people can have jobs, then I'd love to discuss that opportunity.
Virginia Klausmeier, Silvatex.
Well, I just want to say thank you for asking the question, because it's something near and dear to my heart. Following up from what Darrell said, I think that having some way to incentivize or work with a lot of the city staff that want them to promote and work with us, there's a lot of people here at the table who have incentives or, that's a clear driving force for them. But the people who we really work with, I'm in the fuel sector, are going to be the fleet managers. So it really just adds a lot more work for them. So if they don't have any other type of, I don't want to keep on saying incentive, but, reason to push for that, then it offers resistance. So I think having a way that is making it very clear and concise and giving opportunity to lower levels to show support, I think that's great.
Good. We are going to go to our next question. It's from Randy Okamura, who works for a small startup as well called AT&T. Randy Okamura.
Thank you, Carl. So this question is almost like asking Babe Ruth how he hit so well. But everyone has hopes and dreams. Obviously, you guys are really making your dreams come true. So what piece of advice or what kind of conversation would you have with your peers or some of the younger folk coming up or even people my age, and for the record, over 55, in pursuing the dream, making it happen for themselves?
Who would like to take that? Young Han, go volunteer? No, you're handing it to Ushma. Oh, sure, fine. Ushma Garg, Gobble.
So the way Gobble got started is that I was very hungry, and I live away from my parents now, and I posted on Craigslist who could cook me dinner for $8 a plate. And that just one step of feeling this need and trying to solve it for myself was the first step of starting a company. And I got 70 responses, kind of asked some of my friends if they would go in with me, made a paper calendar of who was cooking each day, and it didn't become a technology company for 3 to 4 months after the initial idea and after I initially met people who are willing to cook. So I just think instead of thinking of something very big, first think of just what is the first step I can do to just see if this problem can be solved or see if there's a way to solve this problem on paper or with a phone or with a conversation. And then, you know, just take one step at a time from there.
Ushma Garg, thank you. Young.
Yeah, I actually get asked this question a lot. I love working with kids especially. So the biggest thing that I always say is, what's the worst that could happen? Try it. This is my fourth business, and I've actually failed two of them. And I'm still here. And I'm still kicking. My mom still loves me, and everything's going well. My thing is that I've learned so much from those failures that it's only benefited me even more in my corporate jobs or my employment or even now in this new business that I'm just starting out in. So I guess the one thing that I always like to impart upon people that are looking to start their own company is, what do you have to lose? There's nothing to lose. Yeah.
I want to just repeat something about what Young Han just said about he's had a couple of businesses that have failed. I think you're getting this sense from these six founders and CEOs. Occasionally a business may fail. These six people will not fail. And that's what's so inspiring about them. Bilal Humadi.
I think one of the biggest barriers is if you have a family. If you're single, it's not a big deal. But if you have a family, it makes it a little harder because you have a lot of expenses that you have to account for. And I think if you can just secure like enough savings or a small investment to get you for 6 months, then I think you should just jump and do it. And you might not have the best idea when you start with, but in the process, I think you're going to come across something really good that you can use to build a really good company. And if you fail once or twice and you hit the jackpot the third time, that makes up for the whole life. Yeah.
Cool. Fantastic. Nathan Pham, good show.
It's kind of bizarre, but I'm actually very inspired by Eminem. In one of his songs, he has this quote saying, I'm just doing it for myself. I think it's really important to just kind of start with that, because when you have this insane idea to start something, there's a lot of white noise that tell you not to do it because it's very easy to say not to do something. But I think it all comes down to you as an individual, whether you want it or not. And then my mentor has every time I run to him for an idea, he goes, how bad do you want this? Do you want it that bad? Then do it.
Darrell Coleman, DC Revolution.
I'll just follow up with what everyone said. I agree with everything. in the end, it comes down to kind of what Nathan was getting at just now also, this personal belief that you can overcome, you know. No matter what happens with that thing that you're working on at that given moment, you as an individual, right, are able to find a solution to whatever problem it is that you're facing and move forward over that. And I think with that understanding in mind, like, it doesn't really matter what you're working on at that particular time, because you know that somewhere down the line you're going to find the thing that works.
Excellent. Please, Bilal.
I think the summary for me was to follow my gut and jump. Whether it's going to be good or bad, they're just going to jump.
We're going to go to Jessica Van Bork with the town of Los Gatos. Jessica.
Thank you. And I just wanted to thank you all today because you have been very inspiring. I love this new generation of startups. It's fabulous. And you all mentioned that the energy level of Silicon Valley, coupled with the networking, the support infrastructure, the infusion of culture, those are all things that brought you here or inspired you to start up your companies. As your companies grow and succeed here in Silicon Valley, looking 5 years into the future, what do you see that we can do as a region to keep you here? I mean, our startup community has always thrived, but I'd love to keep you here. And what can we do as a region? I know there are larger topics, affordable housing, H-1B visas, education, K-12. Are there anything else other than those that you see out there in the horizon that we should be aware of now?
So what will keep you here 5 years from now with this successful business venture or the next one? Founders? Virginia Klausmeier, Silva Tech.
Yeah, no. I think a roadmap for what the state, counties, you know, really is driving for will help develop businesses and have them keep stay here for a projected amount of time. I mean, again, I'm in energy, so that's a very big important driving factor. Is where states see themselves in 5 years, or 10 years, and where they want their businesses to be coming from, and their economic viability. So
Virginia, great. So the state actually having an economic roadmap is what we think we heard there. Anyone else like to comment on this, or we'll go to the next one? Uchmagar.
Are you asking as a Los Gatos city or as like a California?
The region.
The region. Silicon Valley. I think the biggest issue that I find myself is housing expenses here. It's very expensive to rent a house and live, and even when you pay employees, you pay them high salary, but most of the salary goes to that. So I think if that BART thing or the Caltrain project becomes, I mean, if it happens, I think we'll add a lot of value to Silicon Valley.
I will add, I know you said that something other than the stuff that we had talked about, like the topical topics that are statewide as well as federal, but something that I would see that's more kind of specific is the fusion of technology into the government sector. In the next 5 years, like if you want to keep me here, you need to keep up with Silicon Valley. The startup space is moving at an amazingly rapid rate, yet I feel that the local municipalities are not growing at the same rate that we're growing, especially in the tech field. So the application processes, the amount of internet use, the website use, all that stuff is not intuitive at the rate that we're becoming intuitive and integrated into the internet.
Young, excellent point. Uchmagar, Gobble, you have the last word on this question.
Okay, well, yes, and so I agree with a number of points, but I want you to know I'm not going anywhere. So.
Excellent. Nathan, now please jump back in, and then we're going to go to, yes. Please, Nathan.
I think public transportation is actually very important. Hopefully 5 years from now, it'll be a lot more efficient in terms of taking public transportation, because I used to take the bus to school, and you can actually waste about 2 to 3 hours to just go to school and come back and come on 2 to 3 hours. But I think in 5 years with public transportation, I think it will help because gas prices is ridiculous. So.
Let's go first to Kim Vu with Technology Credit Union, and then we're going to go to Connie Vercellis with the city of Sunnyvale. Kim Vu.
Thank you. I'm so inspired by hearing all of your stories. And one of the things kind of dovetailing off of Randy's question around what would you tell young people about taking that leap, one of the messages that have kind of popped up here and there, like with Peter Thiel, about encouraging students to leave college and not finish their education to start a startup. And what we've got a whole panel of students or CEOs who have completed college and started startups. What would your message be around encouraging students to stay or go in to start their startup?
Interesting question, Kim. We certainly have a history of some folks who did pretty well when they left school, like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and Carl Guardino. And oh, no, scratch that third name. Okay, Jarrell Coleman, DC Revolutions.
I think it's far more important going into school, coming out of school, et cetera, to understand what it is that you really care about in the world than focusing on getting a degree or not. And I think that's kind of what Peter Thiel is talking about with this idea of leave college if it doesn't fit your needs. I would say stay in college, though, right? If there's something that you really need to learn in order to do what you really want to do. And I think a lot of us were probably in that situation. I know that I definitely was. Designing turbines is something that I don't know how to do or didn't know how to do, right, prior to going to school. That's what got me through, all those hours, all those late night problem sets, all that work. And so I'd say, stick with it, but make sure that it's aligned with kind of your life mission. And figuring that out early on, or continuing to strive to figure that out, should always be kind of the focus.
And Darrell Coleman, what did you study at Stanford?
Mechanical engineering, and I did a master's in civil engineering.
Show off.
I'm Asian, so college was not an option. It was a must. But I think, actually, college, I've never been a really good student. I was one of those students always sit in the back, probably don't show up to classes. Not a good thing to do, but I think school gives you a very good foundation just to really learn different topics, because I even tried out acting and all the other stuff, but I ended up with a College of Engineering degree, and it got me to meet my two co-founders. So I think it really depends on you as an individual, whether you find school is suitable for you, and just do it.
Nathan Pham, so you have a degree in engineering from UC Davis. Correct. Virginia Klausman.
So just to add onto what Nathan and Darrell said, I
I think the biggest piece is finding what your dream is and finding what you want to create. The sooner you are able to do that, if you're in school, you can find you can use the resources there and learn as much as possible. I, as well, in the sciences, it was necessary for me to explore and learn chemistry. There's no way that I could have taught that to myself, but that was very, very important for what we're doing now. But it was also just as important for me to go out and have a professional a different professional career as well, so I could learn the different skill sets to bring me to where I am today. So, you know, it's really finding what works for you.
Virginia, your degree is in what?
Background in undergrad chemistry, and I have my master's in biomechanical engineering.
Okay. Excellent. Ushma Garg.
So I started my first go at a startup company my third year in college. And I actually took a semester off. And so I was applying to abroad programs, and I was actually going to go study in Beijing for a semester. And then I decided, and I talked to some advisors, and I found that my true passion was entrepreneurship and being in Silicon Valley. And so I, instead of going abroad, my semester abroad was sitting in my dorm room, taking no classes and starting a company. I'll tell you about the in-between. I think that starting a company while in college was incredible because with friends who are nearby who can work with you, my professors helped me make a lot of my first sales because they have a lot of industry connections and city connections and alumni connections. Yes, to please my parents, I made sure I had taken a lot of credits before I took that semester off so I could still graduate on time. But I think that you can choose what you do in an extracurricular fashion. And if you want to start a company, there's no reason that you can't do that outside of school, in school.
And Ushma Garg, what did you study at Stanford?
I studied biomechanical engineering, which, you know, in food is very different, but that's okay.
Excellent. Engineering taste. Yes. Did anyone else want to comment on this question? Yes. Young Han.
I actually had one of my businesses during college as well, and I had a choice. I came to a point where our business was so successful that I was actually failing classes. So I had to come to a choice where I had to either sell the business or drop out of school. And because I was so young and I was kind of naive, I didn't have the leadership skills to actually manage this business remotely or hiring the right people and the right executives to run this business. But I will say I chose school. In my mindset, I was thinking that I could always start another business, but I don't really think that I'll ever go back to school. And then there's all these connections and networks that you make, and it's just another edge. So I think that just basically playing to my odds, it's more of like an odds game. It's kind of like the fact that if you go and talk to a network, having that college degree will better your odds or make that better impression or whatever it is. And then you have that network of people that you went to college with. So it was more of a numbers game for me to stay in school and finish.
And what did you study?
Business administration and marketing.
Good. Bilal Hamadi.
Yes, actually, I had a small business when I was in school as well. And it was very hard managing school and having business at the same time. The business was doing pretty well. What I would say, if it was a small business, I think you shouldn't actually go for it. You should focus on school mainly. But if it was a startup, I would encourage actually dropping out of school and doing it, given that you have the option of coming back to school if that startup failed. So it gives you a life's experience and at the same time teaches you a lot more than you thought you would. So in summary, I think you should go for it.
Connie Vercella, City of Sunnyvale, you have the next question.
Thank you, and thank you again. I echoed what everyone said. All of you guys are very inspiring, and I think it's not too late for me. I may go out and start a business myself. But I think Darrell mentioned that there's, you know, five or six people in your house, and you guys are all startup, and you also talked about, you know, how do you get the stakeholder, especially when you're trying to work with regulatory agencies, whether city or the state. I see a few of my colleagues here. They're in economic development. We would love to help you put that together. But how do we find you guys? You know, I guess we can come to your house and find six businesses there. But, is there some organizations or some groups? Or how do we reach out to you guys?
Anyone want to talk about Y Combinator and 500 startups and other things? Darrell Coleman,
Definitely.
DC Revolutions.
You know, I think Carl mentioned some great organizations just now, and there are others throughout the Valley that are fantastic. We recently were accepted, we're being accelerated by an organization called StartX, which is the Stanford Acceleration Program. And it's a fantastic program with a great board of mentors that they pair you with and great resources. they're looking to find the best startups out of Stanford, and I think that's probably a good place for you guys to connect into if you really want to be a part of that network. Additionally, you know, the Silicon Valley Leadership Group has startups that are involved in the program as well, and so I think, you know, obviously the kind of communion that you have going on with them right now is fantastic.
Terrell, thank you. Anyone else want to comment on where people can find clusters of startups? We're going to go quickly to Nathan and then Young, because we want to get to one more question before we close.
There's a new initiative called Startup America, and there's kind of a collective voice of other companies and other organizations that are supporting startup, obviously the public sector as well. So if you plug into the Startup America, you probably get up to date on everything there's.
Nathan, thank you. Good point. We're going to go to Young and then Virginia and then to our next question.
I'm actually seconding that. That's what I was going to say, too. Startup America is this huge initiative, and it's awesome. They just got like $2 billion from the government to basically infuse startups all across the country. But the Silicon Valley chapter is just starting. So like, if you want to join in on that, you should get in on it now so you can actually help navigate the process. And I will also say, like, just like we have to go out there and get hungry for funding or customers or traction, if you're really serious about it, get hungry and get out there. Go to meetup.com, go to Eventbrite, check out these things that we go to. We go to events at least once or twice a week. I think I can speak on behalf of all of us saying that we're always out networking. So there's a plethora of events where a lot of these startups go to.
And just to add to that, you'd be very popular if you went to, you know, a couple of these networking events. But we do go to at least 2 to 5 a week, and you meet a lot of the same people. But there's definitely not enough municipality, folks representing there. So,
Chris Forsythe, Chief of Staff to State Assemblyman Jim Bell, you have the final question.
How much capital did you need to start up, and how hard was it to get it?
Capital to start up. Anyone want to respond
to
that?
Well, we're in the midst of doing some seed funding, but thus far we've been very fortunate to be pretty self-incubated. I think a lot of companies that are in more of advanced technologies, you need to have a lot of technical staff that are part of the founding group. So, you know, in sweat equity, we probably put in a couple $1 million, but we've had to raise very little since we've been able to incubate and work with a lot of resources that are already established. So I think, has been very helpful for us to get to a point where we can even start to raise capital. But it's definitely necessary.
Nathan
Pham. I think it's kind of depend on the business that you're starting. If it's an internet business, it's actually relatively small to start. It's just finding the right talent to kind of join you to start it. But particularly for us, we actually, my co-founder and I, we actually took turn. So when we started the business, we had some saving put into that. Luckily, our business model has a revenue coming. Income and revenue model, so we can sustain ourselves. But we actually took turns. So he quit his job first, and then I worked full time, and then funded some of the extra cash, and then now he actually went back to work full time, and then I work on this full time. So we kind of take turns and kind of try to get by, but we're in the process of raising funding. I hope that kind of answered your questions.
Fascinating. Bilal Humadi, Snoozy.
I think if you're talking about the software companies, like internet-based, relatively, like Nathan said, the startup cost is not as high, so you probably need a few $100,000 or less to start it and to actually maintain it for about a year or so. But if you're talking about anything large like power or semiconductor, I think you're looking at multiple millions easily. Getting that money wasn't easy, but luckily in the Silicon Valley, it's much better than anywhere else.
We hear a sound like a flying saucer landing on El Camino Hospital where we are. It's actually the MRI machine upstairs, if that's picking up for our listeners on radio. It certainly is for our listeners in the room. Ushma Garg, Gobble?
So I think it depends on the stage of the company you're at. So when we first started, I was just paying for myself and my rent and one other person to manage the deliveries and get food from one place to another. And we did that for 3 to 4 months and started making money off of our revenue and profits for the first 2 months that helped the second 2 months where I was out fundraising. And I think nowadays, correct me if I'm wrong, I think seed financings are the first angel round of money that you get ranges anywhere from $500,000 to $1.5 million. And so for our first round, to take us to a year and a half of hiring, let's say 6 to 8 people, we raised $1.2 million. And then after that, if we decide that we want to go faster and if there's reasons for the positive, then we'd raise a second round of funding, which would be a Series A round, and you know, keep growing like that.
Before we run out of time, I'm going to quickly get to just a couple of our lightning round questions here on the CEO Show. These are one word to, at the very most, one sentence responses. We're going to start with Ushma Garg of Gobble and work right down the row. Ushma, what's your favorite book of all time?
Aesop's Fables.
Young Han.
Ender's Game.
Bilal Humadi.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Virginia Klausmeier.
The Alchemist.
Nathan Pham.
The Alchemist.
Darrell Coleman.
The Alchemist. Yes.
Wow. We're starting a book club here with The Alchemist as our first book. We're going to first go to Young Han with our second lightning round question. Other than your current job as CEO and founder of Go Volunteer, what paying job in your life have you found to be the most fun?
Starbucks.
Good. Bilal Humadi.
Race car driver.
Ooh, good. We're all going to leave the parking lot later. We're going to let him go first.
Yeah, I don't know.
Virginia Klausmeier, Silvatex.
I worked in trauma orthopedics for Stryker. That was definitely lots of fun.
Nathan Pham, good job.
Selling home entertainment system at The Good Guys, which is no longer in business.
I'm sure it wasn't your fault. Darrell Coleman, DC Revolutions.
High school track and field and cross country coach.
Excellent. Good. Ushma Garg, Gobble.
Selling Girl Scout cookies.
Ah. I was your best customer, by the way. Did we land on everyone on that one? We're going to the next one, starting with Bilal Humadi. What historical figure no longer alive do you most admire?
Alexander Hamilton.
Virginia Klausmeier.
Mother Teresa.
Nathan Pham.
This Chinese historical figure named Ip Man. He's the master of Bruce Lee.
Darrell Coleman.
Hard question, but Albert Einstein.
Ushma Garg.
Leonardo da Vinci.
And Young Han.
Andrew Carnegie.
Good. And we are in a valley of tech gadgets. Virginia Klausmeier, what's your favorite tech gadget?
Keep it simple, the digital scale.
Nathan Vaughn.
The alarm clock.
The alarm clock. Darrell Coleman.
My smartphone.
Yes. Ushma.
There's a new watch called the Zero Watch, and it's very well designed.
Young Han.
My iPhone.
Yes. And Bilal Humadi.
iPhone as well.
Okay.
A big Apple fan.
Yes. Your employers now, your founders, CEOs, for each of you, one word response. What quality do you most look for in your employees?
Dedication.
Nathan?
Passion and can-do attitude.
Darrell?
Passion.
Okay. Ushma?
Their learning curve.
And a driver's license, it sounds like, yeah. Too. Yes. Good. Young, huh?
Resourcefulness.
Bilal Humadi?
Passion and persistence.
Okay. And our last lightning round question, we're going to start with Darrell Coleman. It's the most important meal of the day. What is your typical breakfast?
Honey bunches of oats.
Good. Nathan Pham?
2 poached eggs, 2 English muffins, and a pot of coffee.
Wow. Virginia Klausmeier.
Fruit smoothie and Earl Grey tea with soy milk.
Bilal Humadi.
Just coffee.
Young Han.
More coffee.
And Ushma Garg.
Greek yogurt with fruit.
Are you as inspired as I am by these 6 CEOs and founders? Darrell Coleman, Nathan Pham, Virginia Klausmeier, Bilal Humadi, Young Han, Ushma Garg, thank you for joining us here at El Camino Hospital for the Silicon Valley Breakfast Club and for appearing on the CEO Show on 1590 KLIV Radio. Listeners to the show, if you missed any portion of tonight's show, you can download this show and all past shows on the Silicon Valley Leadership Group website at svlg.org. For all of us here live today at El Camino Hospital, will you join me in thanking El Camino Hospital, our host?